guys. Flickers of Fear time, and we're still doing Monster March. Now, there's a couple reasons that I finally got around to doing this movie. For some reason, I thought we had already reviewed this, but I guess not. so I was like, okay. This is Cloverfield from 2008. Now, as you can see, I guess, like, we were at FYE in the mall, and this was probably like a year ago, maybe more, and they were selling off a bunch of old horror DVDs for like a buck or, I don't know, like $3 for $5 or something like that. And it was super, super cheap, so I was just kind of like, eh, what the hell? So I went in there and bought like a big pile of them. We've reviewed some of them so far, and this was one of the ones that I bought because at the time that I bought this, I don't think I'd ever seen Cloverfield, but I knew like everybody talked about it, like, you know, being a really good monster movie and a really good found footage movie. So I was like, okay, well, I should pick that up, and one of these days we'll get around to reviewing it. And I thought we got around to reviewing it, but I guess we didn't. So then I thought to myself, well, since I'm doing monster movies this month and I already own this, then I might as well pull the trigger on it. Also, I didn't realize this until I started thinking about reviewing this movie, but this was directed by Matt Reeves, who very famously just directed the brand new The Batman. So I thought, oh, well, that's a fortuitous coincidence. All right, I didn't do that on purpose, really. But yeah, so he did the Planet of the Apes movies, too, like, after this. But this was kind of one of his first ones, I guess, and the one that sort of, like, put his name on the map, I suppose. So Cloverfield, this is very interesting. Like I said, this came out in 2008. It's produced by J.J. Abrams. Now, apparently, like, the idea for this came from J.J. Abrams has said, and I actually watched like a lot of the behind the scenes stuff on the DVD as well. He was like, I was in Tokyo with my son, and we were in like all these toy stores and shit like that. And he's like, and I kept seeing like all this Godzilla stuff. And he was sitting there thinking, man, wouldn't it be cool if we had in America, we had like a big like kaiju, just like they have in Japan, because look what a cultural impact, like, that big giant monster has had. You know, when did the first Godzilla come out? Like, 70 years ago? Something like that. And there's still, it still has such cultural relevance. And so he essentially wanted to do, like, an American kaiju movie, but with our own kind of, like, spin on it. And to a large extent, I think he was very successful in doing that. Now, I think I've mentioned on some of my other reviews, I'm not a huge fan of found footage generally. I don't really like to say that across the board because, honestly, I'll watch pretty much any genre if it's a good movie. And so I don't have any, like, complete aversion to any genre or even any, you know, horror subgenre in particular. But there are ones that I like more than others. And found footage ones, I don't usually seek those out unless somebody tells me, oh, this is a really good one. And I think that maybe, some of that, it's not just because of, like, the shaky cam and stuff like that. That doesn't really bother me. Although I can understand if it does, because this one has some of that too, where, you know, if you're, like, prone to getting dizzy or nauseated or, like, motion sickness or something like that, then I can see how you wouldn't want to watch it, because it does have a lot of that going on. That doesn't really bother me all that much, though. I think what bothers me about a lot of found footage movies is that, you know, you have the whole problem of, like, verisimilitude. Why would somebody be filming this? So I think if you have, like, a good... That's why I tend to prefer the sub-genre of found footage, which is, like, mockumentary. Because then at least, you know, when shit starts going sideways, you know, they have this, well, they're making a documentary. They're actually supposed to be documenting something, so there is a reason for them to film it. This one has a little bit of that, Cloverfield does, but I'm going to give this one a pass because I could kind of see this happening. This didn't kind of, there were a couple times where I was like, yeah, you're running away from a giant monster, might want to turn that camera off, but honestly, I think it was handled so well that it didn't really stand out to me, that it wasn't something that you would be doing. And the guy behind the camera, the character's name, who's HUD, he did actually say, you know, I need to document this. People are going to want to know what happened on this day and stuff like that. And I can totally, because honestly, yeah, this was 2008. Nowadays, I think it's even more likely nowadays that if a giant monster started rampaging through an American city, everybody would be filming that stuff. So even if they were running away from it, because they're just like, holy shit, you know what I mean? So I don't really think it's that I don't think it's that unbelievable, to be honest. Maybe it was more unbelievable in 2008, but nowadays absolutely is not. So what you have in Cloverfield, now this movie, this is kind of amazing because this was made, just goes to show, and I've brought this up on many other shows, you don't need a big budget. I mean, $25 million, that's a lot of money. But in movie making terms, it's like, a, you know, nothing. It's like a drop in the bucket. So this cost $25 million to make and made a shit ton. I think it made $178 million or something like that. It was like a massive, massive success. One of the things, too, that I thought was actually pretty brilliant about this, and I'm going to go so far as to say maybe, and this is a good movie. I really do like this movie a lot. But I think the viral marketing campaign was even better than the movie was, because this did, I mean, you know, Blair Witch Project had done it too, like in 1999. So this obviously wasn't the first movie to do that, even though it's one of the kind of earlier examples. But the viral marketing campaign that they did for this was actually pretty genius. They did the first trailer, which I think was attached to the Transformers movie. And the first trailer that they showed didn't say the name of the movie. Basically, all it had was just some footage of, like, a surprise party and then something bad, like, happening, you know, on this footage, like explosions and shit like that. But it didn't tell you what it was. It didn't tell you it was a monster movie, or if it was a disaster movie, or, you know, or anything. Or, you know, it's there's a possibility that it could have been about 9/11, because I'll get into that in a little bit, too. But it didn't really say anything. All it had at the end, it didn't have the title. It just had, like, the date that it was coming out. And then if you went to the website, which was the date, which I think was 1/18/08 or something like that. And if you went to that website, then it had all of this, like, supplementary material. And it had kind of all, now, it was 2008, so MySpace was still a thing, which is funny because MySpace, it's weird because 2008, when I think about 2008, I'm like, oh, that doesn't seem like that long ago. But I was like, MySpace, that seems like forever ago. So it was actually kind of shocking to me to learn that MySpace was still a thing in 2008, because I thought it was like gone like way before that. But you know what I mean? My sense of time is like all skewed. But anyways, so there were MySpace profiles for all the characters in the movie. And there was also a link to a website, which was supposedly like a Japanese company that made this drink called Slusho, which was kind of like a whole other thing. So it was almost presented like an ARG, and it had kind of like all these clues. Now they tried to keep it super, super secret. And like I said, if you look at like all the behind the footage, the behind the scenes footage of the making of this movie, and some of it they did do on a soundstage, but some of it they did actually film, like, in the streets of New York City. And so they had to put out, like, all these fake titles. I think one of them was Cheese, one of them was Gray Shot. They had, like, all these different titles because they really didn't want anybody finding out about it, because even back in 2008, you know, the internet was still enough of a thing that every time you tried to make a movie, everybody was, you know, knew about it. Like, somebody would spill some information and it'd be all over the internet. But because they started out with this mysterious trailer that didn't tell you what it was, and then there was this mysterious website that had all these links to, like, this other company and, like, these MySpace profiles, so everybody got really interested in what the fuck is this? Like, what is this new movie that's coming out? Everybody knew it was a movie, but there was some speculation, maybe it's a new Godzilla movie, maybe it's a Cthulhu movie, which, that would have been cool, but, you know what I mean, but it wasn't that, spoiler alert. But yeah, so it wasn't that, but, there was all kind of, like, speculation about what it was. And then finally, I think when, Beowulf came out, they actually did, like, the second trailer that had the title of it on there. And I can't really remember if that title, I think that one kind of made it a little bit more clear that it was a monster movie. I don't know, too. Like I said, the viral marketing campaign for this was actually pretty brilliant. And I think it really did go a long way toward getting a lot of people interested, because there was a mystery behind it that you could, like, solve. And, but I don't know, because I didn't see this at the time, and I wasn't really aware, like, I'd kind of heard about the hype, but I was just kind of like, well, yeah, whatever, wasn't really in on it. So I don't know if people that got really super into trying to figure out what this movie was, if when they actually saw the movie, if they were, like, disappointed. I didn't really get that impression. I'm sure there was probably, I think there was a little bit of a backlash, but honestly, this did find, like, very, very well, and it was, like, actually pretty critically acclaimed also. So I guess there wasn't too much of a back. I guess people weren't like all that disappointed that it wasn't Cthulhu or Godzilla or whatever the hell. So what happens in this movie? At the very beginning, you have this character named Rob, and there's some footage of him. He's filming this girl named Beth, and you're led to presume that they're boyfriend and girlfriend, or you know, they just started dating or something like that. And you know, they're being very lovey-dovey. She says she's never been to Coney Island, and he's like, "Oh my God, we have to go." And then there's like some footage of that like interspersed. So I thought that was actually a really clever thing to do because they're kind of opening with these characters, and you don't find out until a little bit later that this was actually what was originally on the tape, and then the tape that has the monster footage on it was when it got like the original footage got taped over. But so like every time, you know, HUD, who's filming the actual monster footage, like would push stop or like rewind or something like that, like there was a little bit of the old footage still on there of Rob and Beth. And it was really good because that those little pieces of it being interspersed in there like recontextualized like everything you had seen up to that point. So I thought that was a really good kind of clever way of adding some emotional resonance to it, I guess. So Rob is, you find out, the footage of him and Beth like sleeping together, they don't show that on the actual thing. It's just like the next morning, you know what I mean? Like the conversation. And that happened like a month prior. So then you find out that Rob actually got a promotion to the head of this company, the same Japanese company, I can't remember what the name of it is right now, the one that makes Slusho. They don't say that in the movie. This is only like in the supplemental material. Like I said, there's a lot of stuff that's kind of what's cool about this movie is that you can just like watch it as like a cool like found footage monster movie. But if you want to kind of like delve into the lore and stuff, there's all kind of, and I'll talk about the sequels too in a minute, but there's all kind of this other supplemental material, like all this shit that's going on, including the fact that the company that makes Slusho, the company that Rob works for in the movie, might have been responsible for the monster, which is called Clover, busting out and like taking, you know what I mean? So there's like a little bit of that going on too. But you, like I said, that's not in the movie because the movie is presented as coming from just average New Yorkers who are thrust into this situation and have no idea what's going on, which to me, I think makes the movie a lot scarier and a lot more like visceral because this is exactly the situation that you would be in if something like this happened. You wouldn't have any fucking idea what the hell was going on. You would just be like running around trying to keep your ass from getting eaten by a giant monster. And again, I've said this on many other occasions. I think like stuff that's unknown is like way scarier. Or stuff if you just like get little glimpses of it. And I think this did a really good job of doing that. It's probably, I don't know, I kind of feel like it would have been a little bit more effective if I'd maybe seen it at the time, because by the time I saw it, I already knew what the Cloverfield monster looked like because I'd seen so many other stills and like other reviews of it and stuff like that. But that said, you know, that can't really be helped. And I still thought it was like a very effective for all that. So Rob works for this company. He got a promotion and he's actually moving to Japan. So all of his friends have this big going away party for him, like a surprise party. Now, HUD, actually Rob's brother, whose name, what's his name? Jason, I think. Rob's brother is actually supposed to be filming all of the people at the party, like he's making like a record of all the people at the party, like saying goodbye to Rob or like saying how much they like him. They're gonna put it all together, like a wedding video or some shit like that. So they're gonna do that, but Jason doesn't really want to do it, so he fobs it off on his friend HUD, who's actually played by T.J. Miller, who I think is in the Deadpool movies. Actually, he's a comedian also, and he provides a lot of comic relief for this, which is, I didn't find it annoying, but it's right on the edge. Because he felt like a real person to me. You know, it's, well, obviously he's a real person, but I'm just saying his character felt like a real person to me, where he's like the guy that's his defense mechanism. Like all of this horrible, scary, like unbelievable shit is happening, and he's just trying to like keep himself sane by sort of making like awkward jokes about everything. So like I said, it's not how you feel about his character. You know, that's gonna be up to you, but and I could kind of see how maybe some people would find it annoying, but I mean, he very much seemed like a real person, and that seemed like some shit that a real person would say if this was going on. You know, trying to just like make light of it because he doesn't know what else to do, you know what I mean? So HUD gets roped into doing this filming thing of all these people at the party, even though he doesn't really know anybody that well, and he's just kind of like, oh man, I don't want to do this, just, you know. But he does end up doing it. He's a trooper. Now, he happens to have a crush on this other girl who comes to the party, whose name is Marlena. He knows her, I guess. Like, he's met her a bunch of times, but she, like, barely remembers him. And she doesn't even really know the other people at the party all that well. She's, like, there with a friend of a friend who knows them. So she's kind of there, and HUD, using the camera, kind of is like trying to like creeping on her a little bit, like, hey, I'm filming all this stuff. And she's just like, yeah, I barely know them. It's like, you know, get the hell away from me, weirdo. It's like that kind of thing. But he just keeps like filming her and like following her around and stuff. Not in a creepy, creepy way, but it is a little bit creepy, I'm gonna say. But it's more awkward than creepy. So, you get like some drama coming up with this family, or family, this party, because it ends up, turns out that Rob, who again had slept with Beth, like we see that footage at the beginning. But what happened during that ensuing month was that I guess he sort of like ghosted her or blew her off, like after that happened, because apparently they'd been like friends before that, and then they slept together, and it was, everyone was like, oh my God, like scandalous, you know what I mean? Because they'd been friends for such a long time. But he was like sort of like low-key or like in love with her. And she was upset that he had apparently like blown her off like after they slept together, and so she goes, I mean, she started dating someone else, like as you would, and she turns up at this party with this other dude, and so there's like some drama ensuing, and she was like, hey, you blew me off, like what the fuck was I supposed to do? And he's like, yeah, well, I was moving to Japan, I didn't really want to get into this big thing or whatever. And she's like, well, yeah, it would have been nice if you told me that, blah, blah, blah. So there was like all that kind of stuff going on. So this is like the first like 15 minutes movie. It's just this very, you know, it's them like filming a party, and then there's like some drama and stuff, and then suddenly there's a really big crash, really big bang. You know, they look out, you know, and the power kind of flickers off and shit. And so everybody's like, what the fuck? Was that an earthquake or whatever? And so everybody kind of like runs up to the roof of the building, and they see like kind of far away across the, like just across Central Park or across the harbor or something like that. They see like a big explosion, and they're just like, what the fuck is that? What's going on over there? You know what I mean? Like, it looks really bad. And, you know, so everything just starts fucking going to shit from then on. Now, like I said, for a long time, you don't really know it's a monster. They don't know it's a monster because they just think, you know, it's bombs or it's an earthquake or something like that, which obviously that's what you would think if that really happened. They all run out of the building because the building starts to fucking shake and stuff, and so they go out of there, and then this big the head of the Statue of Liberty crashes down in the middle of the street, like right in front of the building where they are, at which point they're like, oh shit, this is like really bad, whatever this is. Fun fact, I think that they thought they wanted to do that with the head of the Statue of Liberty because of the poster from Escape from New York, which has like similar imagery, and they were kind of like doing an homage to that, I'm pretty sure. I heard J.J. Abrams say that in one of the interviews, but yeah, so that was like a nice touch. So at that point, they're just kind of like, holy shit. And then HUD, who still has the camera, like turns toward, you know, the street, like down the long way, and sees a glimpse of something that could be a monster, but you can't really tell what it is. So he's like flipping out. He's like, what? You know, I just saw something big and I don't know what it was. I just saw a glimpse of it. And so everyone starts flipping out. And so from then on, the rest of the movie is them just like trying to get the, well, they try to get everybody out of Manhattan. So they are kind of steering them at first towards the Brooklyn Bridge. But then you see kind of part of the monster, and the monster's tail like kind of comes out and then knocks part of the Brooklyn Bridge over, like which kills Rob's brother Jason. Now at that point, he's trying to call Beth, the girl that, you know, that he had like the big drama with, because she had actually left the party early because they'd had like an argument. Now he actually manages to get a phone call from her in which she says that her building was like half collapsed, or she said that she can't move and she's trapped in her building. So at this point, Rob, who has just seen his brother killed, like because he is thrown off the Brooklyn Bridge, like when it's destroyed by the monster's tail, He basically kind of decides, well, I'm not going to let one more person I love die. So he says, I'm going back into Manhattan, and she lives in Midtown. I'm going back into Manhattan and I'm going to get her like out of the building because she says she can't move. She's trapped in her apartment and I'm going to save her. So, everybody obviously thinks he's crazy, but HUD and, Jason's wife or girlfriend, and Marlena all decide they're going to go with him. Cause this, I mean, Rob, that's their friend and they don't want him getting, so they are like, okay, well, we got to go back and save Beth. So basically everyone's trying to get out of Manhattan, but they decide to go back into Manhattan to see if they can get her out. And during all this, obviously they're having to contend with this humongous fucking monster, like stomping through the middle of fucking New York City. And the way they did this, I really think, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of found footage because most of the time I kind of feel like, you know, and I'm not shitting on like low budget filmmakers because sometimes that's like all you can do. It's like, let's just make a found footage movie because it's cheaper. But honestly, if you're gonna do found footage, I think that you should have a reason for it to be found footage. And I think that this has a legitimate claim for doing that because this is like a Godzilla film. But unlike a Godzilla film, it's actually framed from the perspective of just regular ass people instead of like scientists and military and stuff like a Godzilla film would be. So it's just regular ass people who really don't have any idea what's going on. And, you know, everything is just like fucking chaos to them because they don't know what this is. And I like the found footage thing because it really, it puts you in the middle of it. You can really like put yourself into this situation, you know, because they're just at a party and then all of a sudden there's a giant monster rampage. Like, how would you react to that? You know what I mean? And I think it's like really immersive in that sense. And just the way they shot it too was kind of brilliant because it really ramps up the suspense. Because like I said, you know, yes, even though you know it's a giant monster, but because this is just one person with a camera, they don't really see the monster all that well. Like, really, you don't get a very good look at it until toward the end of the movie. And I think that was, like, a really good decision. And I liked, too, that the monster, Clover, who's fucking gigantic, it looks really cool, by the way. Yeah, the monster design of this is really good. But Clover also has these little parasite things that are, like, all over his body. Essentially, I guess they're, like, remoras, like, on a shark or something like that. And, but they can, like, jump off and run around. They're kind of spider-like or scorpion-like or something. And, they bite and it's poison, which is how Marlena ends up biting it. No pun intended. I actually was just gonna say that's how she got killed, but then I said biting it. I was like, okay, I'm leaving it in. So that has, like, a smaller threat, too, that can be anywhere. So I thought it was, like, kind of good. Because obviously, like, a big giant monster, that's fairly easy to avoid because you can, like, kind of see it and hear it. But then it has, like, all these little bitty minions that can kind of be anywhere and will also kill you. So I think that was, like, a good balance, you know what I mean? So they're going back in and trying to get Beth out. They actually do find her in actually what is one of my favorite sequences. A lot of people, when they talk about Cloverfield, they talk about their favorite or the scariest sequence being when they decide that to be safer, which is actually not a bad idea, that they're going to walk through the subway tunnels, like up to, you know, so the monster can't get them like on the surface. And, you know, so they don't get shot by the military accidentally or whatever. So they're going to go through the subway tunnels, but then it turns out that the subway tunnels are full of these little, of the little parasite, creatures. So that doesn't work out as well as they intended. But, and that's a great scene too. But honestly, my favorite scene is when they get to Beth's building and her building has sort of like half fallen against another building. And, they're like, oh, fuck me. It's like, really? And so they end up having to go up to, and she's like on the 37th floor or 39th floor or something like that. And so they have to go, end up going into the intact building next to it and climb up to the roof and then climb out on this fucking slanted ass roof and then climb down. The building's like all slanted. And it's like, that gave me such anxiety because like I have horrible, horrible fear of heights. And so if I see anything like that in a movie, even though I know it's not real, it just makes my stomach just knots up like that. So like the whole time, like they're crawling out like the window and it's like onto this fucking roof and it's all slanted. And I was like, oh God, I don't think I can watch. I was like really, really anxious, like watching that the whole time. And I was just like, please don't. And then they're like looking out over the city and they can see the monster like far away. I'm just like, oh, fuck that. Fuck that. I'm just saying, you live that far up in the thing. I'm not saving your ass. I'm telling you that right now. I'm not walking way the fuck up there up on a fucking skyscraper roof. Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, it's kind of interesting because I feel like maybe people that are younger nowadays, because I have seen some reviews of this by way younger reviewers that acknowledge that this is obviously kind of based around 9/11. Or, inspired by 9/11? Is that a weird thing to say? I guess. But they don't really, I don't know. I guess they know that, but it doesn't really maybe like hit the same, because you have to think this movie came out only 7 years after that, and a lot of the shots in it are absolutely taken from like real footage of like 9/11. And the fact that this happened in New York City and they're framing it from the perspective of just regular New Yorkers who are going about their life, and then this horrible, like, big fucking disaster happened, and some people were filming it, and like people are walking around the street with big fucking clouds of ash and smoke and shit like that coming down the street. So, it's kind of interesting that, well, because the Godzilla movies, and so it was deliberate, because the Godzilla movies, obviously, particularly the first one, Gojira, which was kind of like talking about the atom bomb and kind of the dangers of like the post-nuclear age and everything like that. And so it's kind of like the monster being a metaphor for that. And so the fact that this movie, Cloverfield, kind of using 9/11 imagery from 9/11 like as the backdrop of this, so you can see that it's kind of trying to do the same thing as Godzilla. I don't know if it was quite as successful, because Godzilla, I think, works better as a metaphor, and obviously it's a lot more enduring kind of thematic metaphor, because how many Godzilla movies have there been? I don't even know. It's a lot. Whereas this movie seemed like a really good movie, but it didn't really seem to have the same like thematic resonance. Yes, they were using the monster sort of as a metaphor. I don't even know if I'd call it a metaphor, but they were just kind of like using imagery from 9/11, like a big scary thing happening, like all and everybody like freaking out about it. So it didn't really have anything all that important to say about, about that day or about the attack. So I think maybe that's why it doesn't resonate the same way that maybe Godzilla does with people. But that said, it's still a pretty damn good movie, and it's especially a pretty damn good monster movie and a pretty damn good found footage movies. One of the best found footage movies, I think. And like I said, that's coming from someone that doesn't love found footage movies usually. I kind of like mockumentaries more than found footage, but if found footage is utilized effectively, which I think it absolutely is here, then I think it really does lend something to it. I really do think that the found footage format really did make this a way better movie. Honestly, I think if you just made this like a regular big monster movie, it would have been good probably, but I don't think it would have been quite as, I don't think it would have been quite as compelling, because you wouldn't have felt like you were right in the middle of this giant fucking monster attack. So now there have been a couple, I hesitate to call them sequels, because they're almost kind of like movies that were like set in the same universe. So you had 10 Cloverfield Lane, and then you had the Cloverfield Paradox. Now, I have not seen either one of those, although I'm kind of familiar with the lore. They kind of explored more of the lore around the creature and around the situation, rather than being like a continuation of this story. Now, J.J. Abrams has teased for many years that he wanted to do a direct sequel to Cloverfield, and he's kind of hinted that what he would want to do was that he's like, well, if you see Cloverfield, the original movie, sometimes like in the crowd shots and stuff, you'll see somebody else, over there in the crowd, like filming the shit that's going on. And he's like, so I kind of like the idea that we can do like the same event, but from someone else's perspective, because obviously everybody that it happened to would have had, like, you know, the same thing was going on, but they would have had a different perspective on it. So he kind of thought that would be, like, an interesting idea for a sequel. And they, I don't know, they keep hinting at it, but I don't know if it's ever going to get made. I don't really know. I kind of feel like the consensus, like I said, I haven't seen the other two Cloverfield movies. I've just seen this one. I feel like Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane seemed to get, I remember seeing trailers for that, but I don't think I ever saw the movie. I remember that getting kind of like mixed reviews. Some people thought it was really awesome. Some people not so much. Cloverfield Paradox, I remember that one being pretty negatively received, although, you know, who knows, just from my, like, limited perspective. I'm not going to comment because I haven't seen either one of them, so I don't really know. But like I said, they weren't really sequels in this. They were just kind of, like, in the expanded universe, and I felt like the third one, I heard, kind of went off into, like, multiple dimensions and stuff, which, okay. I don't know. So I'll probably end up seeing them at some point. But for now, I just think this is just, I don't know, this is just a really good monster movie, you know, an American Godzilla, if you will. I really do like the found footage, the way it was utilized in this context. I really like the monster design. And, you know, it's just like a really good immersive, anxiety-inducing. It's very tense, it's very fast-paced. And I just thought it was, like, really well done. I don't know how much rewatchability it has necessarily, but it's actually, it's just like a good, fun, scary, you know, it's pretty scary movie, you know, in that genre. So I'll give it that. But yeah, if you've seen Cloverfield or if you've seen the other ones and you have any opinions on those, I'd be interested to hear them because I haven't seen them, you know. And what did you think about the viral marketing campaign, which actually I thought was quite brilliant and actually very effective because this made a shit ton of money on a very, very small budget. Oh, I will say too that even though most of the stuff is CGI, there is a lot of practical stuff. They did build puppets of, like, the little parasite creatures, but they didn't, they ended up using them on screen sometimes, but they said when they were attacking people, it just looked too dumb. So they went with CGI in the end, but they did actually build them. So they know what they look like, and they did build, like, some miniatures of the big monster and stuff. They did film a lot of stuff in New York City, although some of the stuff they had to film on a soundstage, and then they had to kind of, like, green screen, you know, farther down streets and everything like that. But honestly, it looks pretty damn good. I have to say the CGI looks pretty fucking good. Found footage helps with that, too, because it doesn't have to look as, you know, ultra HD. You can have it look kind of gritty, and that actually just adds to the realism. So, yeah, so I have to say they did a really good job, like, with the small budget that they had. But, yeah, so let me know what you thought about Cloverfield. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear, continuing on with Monster March. And I will see you guys on the next one. Bye!